and it worked great, and it became a tradition and something that we repeated every hope afterwards, and always with different people on the panel, always with different experiments, and always with a lot of fun. Let's take a listen, and again, that phone number 212-209-2950, 1994.
I mean, we've all done some social engineering. Anytime we meet up against some imbecile on the phone company that won't tell us something that we have the right to know, you have to kind of keep trying. You get somebody that won't tell you something, you just call back and try again. You get somebody that gives you one little bit of information, you call back and you use that one little bit of information to get more information from the next person. It's amazingly like computer hacking, except the people at the other end aren't quite as intelligent as computers. Really, I can tell you 9X stories, but I won't. All right. Well, okay, the most recent example, we got a new phone line installed, and we asked them, please don't send the bill to the address that the phone goes to, because mail delivery is not very reliable there. Send it to this P.O. box in this town over here, please, okay? Thank you. Well, a month later, we got a bill that was sent to the wrong P.O. box. It was minus one of the P.O. box we sent them, but it was also the town that we were in originally. So they sent it to the wrong P.O. box in the wrong town. And somehow it got to us, a miracle of the post office. We told them not to ever do that again, but they did. They sent us a calling card that we didn't even ask for. And we got it in the mail to the right P.O. box because they had repackaged it. They had sent it to the wrong address. It had been opened. They got it back. And then they put it into a handwritten envelope, sent it to our P.O. box. Now, they see that a calling card has been sent out, unsolicited, has been opened by the wrong person, yet they just send it out again as if nothing had happened. We've been since March trying to get new phone lines installed at 2600, and really, I don't know, does 9X do something else that takes all their time? Because they don't have time for phones. They don't have time to fix things. Go outside and look at the payphones. They're in horrible shape. They don't get fixed. The same thing with residential. Anybody who runs a business, anybody that has ever tried to put up a site of slips and dial-ins has to deal with 9X. I've heard stories from Panix, from Escape, from Mindbox. It's awful what they do to people. Good example, a phone man came to my house once, and he was trying to find out what the line code was, what the phone number was. And he was dialing 958, which is our ANAC number here in New York. And it wasn't working for some reason. It was all busied out. He just kept dialing 958, and it's a rotary phone. It was taking a long time. And I said to him, you can dial 511, too, and there's another one. They just looked at me for a second, and they just kept dialing 958. Like something just didn't quite mesh there. So what they do in the phone, there's a great book that came out maybe 20 years ago called The Biggest Company on Earth, and it was about the Bell system. And this was before the breakup, when it was all one big company. They owned your phone, they owned the wire in your phone, they owned the wire to the central office, they owned the central office, and they owned the long-distance company. It was scary. And it was one big enemy for all of us. Well, now there's lots of big enemies for all of us. But locally, we still only have one company. We still just have 9X. And one of the things I know lots of us want to do is get competition on the local scale, make things more interesting for us, for one thing, but also give us some maybe cheaper prices. So that's something that we're pushing for. As far as social engineering goes, though, there are... I cannot think of a single company that is immune from this, that has not done some utterly stupid things. I once called up a company, Cable and Wireless, and I asked them what my code was. And I just, all I said was my phone number. And they told me what my code was. No verification, nothing. Another time, how many of you have MCI friends and family? That was a great one. You know what I'm talking about. They have an 800 number where all you have to do is call the 800 number, enter your phone number, and then as security, enter your zip code. And they'll tell you all 10 people on your calling circle, which includes people with unlisted phone numbers. And not only that, but you find out how they related to you. Your brother at 914 or whatever. Whatever. They just put all this information in. Well, they changed that because we broadcast that over the radio here live. And now you have to get, I think, part of your account number, which is not very hard to get either. So it's always possible to get information from these companies. Social engineering, though, extends well beyond phone companies. One story I told last year at HEU was about trying to get a computer dial-up number. Now, we were at a university a few years ago, and all we wanted to know was the dial-up for the mainframe. And they wouldn't tell us. That was privileged information for only the computer elitists. So we called up the computer center, and we asked them. We did some social engineering trick, which did not work at all. And they said, look, we're not telling you this. This is not information for you to know. We will never tell you this, blah, blah, blah. And they hung up. And we were very depressed, very upset that we couldn't get this information. And so one of us thought to, after a few minutes, to call them again and say, yeah, this is so-and-so. Actually, after about half an hour, this is so-and-so from some office in administration. We heard what just happened. Do you want to tell us about it? Well, sure enough, they had called in and said that somebody was trying to get this phone number, and they gave the details as to what this person had been trying to do. Some stranger called us up and was trying to get privileged information out of us. And, well, sir, what privileged information were they trying to get? Or a computer number. What number would that be, sir? Thank you.
Okay, and that was an excerpt from the first Hope Conference in 1994. That was a hacker known as SN who was a master at social engineering, and he had he called Sprint and got them to at one point they were going to give out a PIN for access to a particular number known as a CNA, customer name and address. Back then, 1994, it was a big deal to get a hold of a number that would actually reverse a telephone number. You give them a telephone number, they tell you who it belonged to and the address. Even if it was unlisted in many instances. And as you can see, she was about to give out even more specific information about the last account that she had had access to, and he responsibly stopped her from doing that. But it demonstrated quite well how once you win somebody's trust, you say, wow, it's one of those days, you get the terminology right. Of course, he did say it was from Sprint Social Engineering, which I thought was genius. But once you get somebody's trust, it's a very simple matter to get them to simply start giving information out, and there's no better demonstration than this. So what we're offering here today, we're offering 8 of these.